Thank you, Father Satish, for this opportunity, and I'm grateful to all of you. This is a wonderful opportunity for me to be able to worship with you. And you know, Rome is great, but Dayton is home. When I do return there, I promise, there's a chapel not far from our house dedicated to St. Helen, and I promise to carry all of you there in my heart, you and all of your intentions to the Lord. But just down the road from here, there is some land which we Marianists call Mount St. John. And the other night I was there praying, I came across a certain statue of Jesus for the first time. In this statue, Jesus' heart is exposed and his open hands are lifted next to his heart. He struck me as both strong and vulnerable, ready to receive whoever comes, and eager to give them whatever he can. It's an image which I think can help us unpack today's readings a bit. Let us consider the heart of Jesus, the hands of Jesus, and Eucharistic life. First of all, the heart of Jesus. Though the Sacred Heart of Jesus is not mentioned explicitly in today's readings, if we lean in, listen, and look closely, we can catch a glimpse of it. It's a marvelous sight. Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. Then he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" Upon seeing a large crowd approach, Jesus first sees the needs of others, and his first move is to reach out to them. What kind of heart is this? Towards who is it turned? The compassionate, open heart of Jesus is turned outwards to his heavenly Father and to all of his Father's children, especially those most in need. This kind of openness is a possibility for the human heart, for all of us, yet we remain free to choose other options. Once, and this is a true story, a flight attendant was assisting a passenger who was suffering a heart attack mid-flight. And another passenger nearby, fully aware of this emergency and its gravity, angrily tapped the flight attendant on the shoulder and said, "My coffee is cold." This unfortunate example shows us the depths to which our hearts can descend when they are turned inwards, frozen shut, in sinful self-absorption, as if nobody else mattered. The tender heart of Jesus is the warm, radiant antithesis, the opposite of such selfishness. Most of our hearts fall somewhere in the middle of this spectrum, perhaps like Philip and Andrew in today's gospel. They wanted to help, but they thought that it was impossible, or at least impractical. Where can we buy enough food? What good are these for so many? Their good hearts trembled a bit. Hindered by fear and doubt, they hesitated. What do we do when we see a large crowd approaching us, our border, our neighborhood, our parish, our office, our home? How do we respond? The answers to these questions reveal to us something of our heart's orientation. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called to have hearts like his, open to the crowd and eager to feed. Let us now take a look at Jesus' hands. How does he use them and for whom? It has been said that all of sacred scripture speaks to us of Christ. So we can read today's psalm in light of the gospel. The psalmist proclaims, "The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs." And in his gospel, John writes, "Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted." What does Jesus do with his hands? He receives a humble offering, thanks his heavenly Father, and he feeds the crowd. Or paraphrasing a line from the psalm, he opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Notice the word desire. Jesus meets the needs of the crowd, but he does more than that. He has the people recline. People do not recline for fast food. This is the posture taken for a banquet, a time of leisure, joy, celebration, and abundance. Philip and Andrew, like the servant in the first reading, were concerned about the scarcity of supplies. They feared that there wouldn't be enough. Such a fear can give rise to a stinginess that asserts me and my group first. There's not enough for all. Yet the crowd had their fill. 12 wicker baskets remained. The seemingly meager supplies somehow with Christ became more than the crowd could eat. The hands of Jesus give generously, in abundance. These same hands were later pierced, nailed to a cross to bring about our redemption. It was there that Jesus met our deepest need and most profound desire for love without condition, for healing, and for salvation. There too, Jesus gave in abundance, offering to the beloved disciple not only himself and his blood, but giving even more when he said, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Jesus offers us his mother to be our mother and our helper on the path of discipleship. The presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our lives, like the 12 wicker baskets of leftovers, is a sign of God's overflowing love for us. The hands of Jesus reach out to give us more than enough. Finally, Eucharistic life. In John's Gospel, miracles are referred to as signs, pointing to another reality. After Jesus' first sign at the wedding of Cana, the disciples began to believe in him. After the sign in today's Gospel, the people say, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." They recognized in this sign something greater, someone greater. We Catholics can see a figure, a foreshadowing of the Eucharist, where Jesus is not only the giver, but the gift. Jesus does not only multiply bread and feed, he becomes bread and food for us daily. Now, the original fragments from the 12 wicker baskets are dust, long gone. Yet today, here within these walls, in a matter of moments, we will receive not the bread that Jesus multiplied, but the great multiplier himself. In the person of the priest, Jesus, once again, with open heart and outstretched arms, will say to us, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it." He who fed the 5,000 will enter and become part of us. Let's take a moment to sit with and absorb that almost incredible reality. In your heart, what do you want to say to God in response? Perhaps you too would like to say thank you. One way to respond to God's great love in Jesus Christ is thanksgiving, which is, after all, what the word Eucharist means. We can be like the little boy in today's gospel. He did not work a miracle and didn't have to. He didn't have much and he didn't need to. But he stayed close to Jesus and generously gave what he had without fanfare. Only one filled with gratitude can hold things with such a light grasp and give them away so freely. The servant of God, Dorothy Day, once wrote, "What we do is very little, but it is like the little boy with a few loaves and fishes. Christ took that little and increased it. He will do the rest. Where is your heart turned this morning? How will you feed someone this week? What will be your response to receiving once again the Lord in the Eucharist? Like the little boy, let us thank God and go forth to live Eucharistic lives, marked by the openness and generosity we've glimpsed in the heart of Jesus, and by the impulse to reach out our hands to feed others in whatever way we can. Mary, Mother of Perpetual Help, pray for us. In one God, the Father, the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God.